Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having a good friend, Rick Lepsinger, back on the show. And Rick's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, including Virtual Team Success, which he co-authored with Darlene DeRosa. Also, the Closing the Execution Gap. And also Virtual Team Success. And he's here to talk to us about some of that virtual stuff. Rick Lepsinger, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always glad to be back.
It's good to have you here, Rick. I was telling the audience that before you got here, Rick, that even, regardless of how sophisticated or whatever type of small business you have, you probably have already done some kind of a virtual hook up with people other parts of the state or the world or wherever, maybe on another planet for some folks. And you've probably done something, but even if you haven't, every day that goes by is a day closer to you doing a virtual meeting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You said it very, very well. You said, you know, virtual meetings are going to be in your future, and that's absolutely right. It's amazing how rapidly these, you know, geographically distributed teams are starting to really comprise the workforce. You know, there's been an 800% increase in virtual workers over the last 5 years.
Yep.
And I just read a statistic. They anticipate there'll be 63 million virtual workers just in America by 2016.
Yeah.
So it's really just rapidly growing.
You know, Rick, after 2001, after the 9/11 attacks, I reported a lot and wrote some about what all those people who were displaced from Lower Manhattan. You know, they were told to take their laptops and go home.
Yeah,
and they went home. Many of them went home for a year or more, and then when they were asked to come back, when the new space was found for them. When they asked to come back, they said, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
We've been working for a year. And I wrote a piece back then, and I said that event and the adapting work management practices and associated technological innovations was going to be a bigger threat to the hospitality and the airline industry than terrorism ever would be. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of reasons why virtual teaming has, you know, really taken off, and one of them has to do with the technology where we are now able to, which has been a great advance. And in addition to that, you know, businesses are always looking for talent, you know, wherever the talent is located. So this allows us to hire the best people wherever they happen to be, anywhere in the world. So the idea of having a geographically distributed team is becoming much more predominant. There's no longer a need to have to come to a single place to work.
Right.
And it's also about quality of life, as you were alluding to. People have a much better quality of life.
Yeah, let me stick another quality of life in there, Rick, because if you have a fairly sophisticated business and you decide you want to live in small-town America, and you want to move your headquarters to small-town America, and I know a lot of people like that. I'm an example of that. I live in small-town America.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got a lot of people. I know you and I both know them that have moved from D.C. or New York or wherever to the middle of nowhere. And they need talent that may not be able to be all completely available in small-town America. And so they realize they're going to, if they make this move, virtual teams are going to be part of their deal.
Absolutely, and you can live anywhere you like, and again, because of the technology and the nature of the work, and also customers are becoming much more accustomed to the fact that people are all over the place. They don't expect you to have a single office
and
or a single location.
The thing, Rick, that I believe is what's going to bring virtual meetings, virtual communication, video, virtual, you know, video mm-hmm. communication down market into the micro for more and more people. If you, I believe that before a cafe owner goes out of business, if they lived a long life and run their business a long time, they'll be taking orders from people and they'll be able to punch a button and see them sitting in their office and saying, "Hey, this is what I want."
Yeah,
that's a virtual
big
meeting.
Issue. The big problem is that people really struggle with running an effective virtual meeting. The challenge is it's difficult to have a good meeting when you're face-to-face, but now when you have people who are, you know, all over the world or all over the country, having an effective interaction and meeting mm-hmm. is very, very difficult. We do a lot of studies on it, and they're like, you know, most people are very dissatisfied with the quality of the virtual meetings.
Is it because of the production, the way it's conducted, or the technology?
Both, actually. It has to do with both things. And people mostly complain about getting everyone engaged and dealing with multitasking are always challenges on meetings. So
keeping their attention while you're talking to them. They may be, you know, on their cell phones or their tablets or whatever. I conducted a presentation back in the summer to a group in a headquarters, and there were four virtual audiences that they brought in. And I could see everybody in all the rooms. I could look at their noses and call their names, and it was a great hookup.
Yeah, and when that's really a good example of using technology effectively. And unfortunately, either not everyone has access to it, or not everyone really understands how to take advantage of the technology tools that they actually do have.
Right, exactly. So give us a couple of tips before we go to a break.
Well, there's a couple of things. The interesting thing is there's a lot of things you can do before the meeting. So just one quick one is not to call a meeting that's just for information pass. If you're just doing a status update, find another way to do it. Post the information on a shared site, send it in an email.
Right.
Because if you have just an information pass meeting where you're not expecting a conversation for problem solving or decision making, you're basically training people to multitask, because everybody goes on mute and they wait for their turn to do the update. They come off of mute, they do the update, they go back on mute, and they do the rest of their work while everybody else is talking. So
let me offer a couple of exceptions. If I'm the boss and I want to make sure people realize my position, my seriousness about something, I want them to see me, so I might be giving them information like that. And another thing might just be, if we haven't talked lately, just do it just to get everybody face-to-face. What do you think, quickly?
I think if it's purely information pass, find another way to do it.
All right.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.